Nobody go back and watch last week. I think I was wearing the same clothes, but nobody go and check that. Trust me, I was. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I'm not going to slam the pulpit or anything when some of you all go back to sleep trying to get your hour back that the universe stole from us last night. But I understand. If glad to help any way I can, I guess is what I'm saying, if that's where you find yourself. Again, it's good to see everyone out this morning. Sometimes I spend a lot of time looking for, trying to think of an illustration to use for a lesson that we're going to be talking about on the morning that we have services. I don't really, though, have to do that today because all of us, you all are, the congregation is our illustration. This church has been a living illustration of what we've been talking about this entire series. Anytime that a need arises within these walls or within the community or surrounding communities, even as far as the country of India, those who have share with those who have not. That is a living illustration of everything that we've been talking about in this series, everything it means to be one body. That this is what the church is. This is a living illustration of the church, and that it isn't just some place we go, and it's not just something that we do. Church is not a place that we just go. Church is not something that we just do. Church is something that we are, and we are the church full time. We are the body of Christ every day, taking care of one another, loving one another, and serving one another. So this morning, what we are thinking about and talking about is that God gives each individual person, God blesses each individual person. He gives each individual person a gift, and not just for their benefit, but also for the benefit of the entire body, the benefit of the entire church. That's the way that God works in his gifting. But that kind of requires us to sort of rethink the way we think about or we perceive gifts, because when we think about gifts, we tend to think about something for me and not something for us. I think about just about every gift I've given Missy. It's typically something that will benefit me as much as it does benefit her. Things like baking dishes or cleaning tools. She might ask for some of those things, but it's not just a gift really for her to enjoy, but really for all of us within the house. A gift for her to enjoy serving the family. And when you think about a gift, that doesn't seem like it should be. But that's actually how God gifts us. God gifts you, and God gifts me, and God gifts every individual Christian with gifts and blessings that are not just for their own personal enjoyment, but to enjoy using, serving the rest of the body. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. This is what it looks like to be the body of Christ and to receive blessings and gifts from God through his Spirit. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Paul says, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And let's just read that last part again. For the common good. And as an individualist, and that's what really all of us tend to be in our culture, we tend to think that everybody should get the same things. In fact, like when the twins were growing up, we never bought one of anything. If we gave one toy to one and then another toy to the other, a different gift, what do you think was said? "That's not fair. Why did she get that and I didn't get that? It's not fair." And we all say that. We all say it's not fair that one person to get something and the other person doesn't get it. So we tend to think that way with God giving gifts as well. He ought to give everybody the same gifts. But Paul says that's not the way the Lord works. That's not the way that the Spirit works. He doesn't give the same gifts to each individual person. He gives a variety of gifts. a variety of ministries, a variety of activities, but it's still the same God. It's still the same Spirit. It's still the same Lord that is empowering them each and every day. He doesn't give them the same gifts to everyone. He doesn't give the same ministries to everyone. He doesn't give the same activities to everyone. And in fact, we are far more blessed than that. We are far more blessed than that. Because if I give one twin the same gift and I give a different gift to the other one, then the whole family is blessed by a variety of those gifts if they are used to serve the common good. And that's the way that Paul says this is the way it works in the church. Don't look at somebody else and say, how come I don't have that gift? Or I should be the one with that gift, or why did God give them that gift? He says that the Spirit gives a variety of gifts, a variety of activities, a variety of services, but it's all for the common good. So whatever the Lord has given you, he hasn't just given it to you for your own personal benefit or enjoyment, but for the benefit of the rest of the church. And the same goes for the rest of the church. He's given those gifts to the rest of the church for your benefit. Think about how much more we are blessed because that's the way that the Lord works. It's so much better that he had given all the gifts to you and then all of the gifts to them and all of the gifts to every individual. It's far more of a blessing that he gives each individual a variety, that he gives each different individual a variety of gifts and ministries and activities, but it only works if it's used for the common good. It only works if each individual says, I'm equipped, I am empowered, I am gifted, I have a particular ministry, I have a particular service, I have a particular activity, and then they use that for the good of the rest of the church. But if they hoard it and they hang on to it for their own personal benefit, then it doesn't benefit the rest of the church. The idea of the church, the idea of a community of followers of Jesus, this idea of one body only works if we rethink our perception of gifts, if we rethink our perception of blessings, where we don't think God gave me this, and so I'm so glad that he did give me this. He gave me this because I'm not like so-and-so who doesn't have this. He gave this to benefit me. Not only me, though, he did that to benefit them as well. If we look at verse 8, Paul says, For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the workings of miracle, and another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And just notice how all of these gifts complement each other. Wisdom complements knowledge. Knowledge complements wisdom. Prophecy complements distinguishing between spirits, and distinguishing between spirits complements prophecies. Tongues complements interpretation, and interpretation complements speaking in tongues. All of these gifts complement each other. So Paul says, don't mirror each other. You all don't have the same gifts. You have gifts that complement one another. They only work in concert, in harmony. That's a good word, concert. Think about a concert or a bunch of instruments on stage, and there are some instruments just by themselves. I won't name any of them, but some of them are just annoying by themselves. But when you play them along with all of the other instruments, that they make a beautiful noise. And that's the way the gifts work. Now, sometimes we have a tendency to read these miraculous gifts and we say, how come I don't have any of those? How come I can't speak in miraculous tongues? Or how come I can't prophesy? But that misses the whole point of what Paul is saying, doesn't it? He gifted the church of the past, the first century church, with certain gifts, and it continues. We continue to benefit from those gifts of the church of the past. We continue to benefit that God granted gifts of apostleship and prophecy to the first century church. We continue to benefit from their giftedness and the church of the present, we have our own unique gifts, our own unique ministries, our own unique activities. And so we don't need to look at the past and say, how come we don't have any of those cool gifts? The gifts we have are the cool gifts. The gifts you have are exactly what the church needs to survive today. God takes care of his body. God takes care of his body through the Spirit. God takes care of his body through the Spirit by gifting each individual part with exactly what it needs to minister to the rest of the body if it uses its gifts, its ministries, its activities for the common good. Let's look at verse 11. Paul says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions each to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. And that's what we've been talking about this whole series. This is what unity in a church looks like. It's a unified diversity. It's not the unifying of the same. It's the unifying of difference. We wouldn't be a body like the human body if we were all exactly the same. We are only a body because we are one and we are different. Jesus didn't bring together a bunch of people who were the same. Jesus brought together a bunch of people who were different. Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, men and women, all from different nations, from different tribes and different languages. And they were brought together into one body. And it's precisely because we are diverse, because we are different, that we reflect the body. Just like the human body, our body is diversely unified, right? A unified diversity. We have fingers and toes and a nose and a mouth and our eyes and our ears, and every one of them is radically different than the rest of the body, but together they make up one body. Paul says this is the way that it works. You're all different. You're all different ethnically. You're different in your socioeconomic status. You're different in how the Spirit has gifted you. You're different in your ministries. You're different in your activities. But when you are working together, when you are baptized together into one body, when together you drink of one Spirit, when you are working together for the common good, the body of Christ, you reflect a oneness, a unity. And so verse 14, he says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would make it no less part of a body. If the whole body were an eye, where would its sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Our variety of gifts, what we tend to do if we start comparing ourselves to other people, when we say, well, they had this gift or that ministry or that activity, and I had this other gift or this other activity or ministry, when we compare ourselves, it tends to lead to an attitude of inferiority because, well, I don't have that gift. I must not be a very valuable member of the body, or a feeling of superiority where you say, my gift is a lot better than their gift. My ability is better than their ability. And Paul says that's nonsense. That's ridiculous. A foot doesn't look at the hand and say, well, since I'm not a hand, I just don't belong. That's not the way that a body works. A foot is supposed to do the job of a foot. A nose is supposed to do the job of a nose. An ear, the job of an ear. If every body part did the same exact job, there would be a lot of jobs that went undone. Sometimes, though, that's what happens with the church, doesn't it? Sometimes there's a temptation to prioritize certain ministries or certain activities, and we'll say that these are important church ministries, but these others maybe not so much. But every ministry, every gift, every activity that the Spirit empowers us and equips us to do is significant and important. We shouldn't have an attitude of inferiority or an attitude of superiority, but it should be an attitude of gratitude. When we look at someone else and we say their gift is different than mine, we should say, thank you, God, for gifting them that way. Instead of saying, man, I'm such a loser because I'm not as good as they are at that particular thing, you ought to say, thank God that someone is gifted with that ability, even if I'm not, because I have this other thing that I'm good at and that I can do, rather than having this feeling of inferiority or superiority. We ought to have a feeling of gratitude, because again, together we have all of the gifts that we need. Isn't that really what Paul is saying here? That together the body has all the gifts that it needs. But if the whole body did one job, there would be a bunch of jobs that wouldn't get done. He says in verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Every part of the body has mutual dependence. Every part of the body relies on the rest of the body. My eyes have needs that my eyes cannot meet. My hands have needs that my hands cannot meet. My feet have needs that my feet cannot meet. It requires the rest of the body to minister to it in order to have all of its needs met. There is no part of your body that doesn't have mutual dependence. Every single part of your body, no matter how significant or insignificant you think it is dependent on the rest of the body, and the rest of the body is dependent on it. Every body part is mutually dependent on the rest of the body. Again, and then for us, you have needs that you cannot meet. I have needs that I cannot meet. Every single follower of Jesus has needs that in and of themselves they cannot meet. They need the rest of the body. The idea that Christianity is one-on-one, just me and God, and me and God have this special relationship, and I don't need church, that's nonsense. That is nonsense. This is the way that God designed his people, is to dwell in and depend on one another. That we have needs that are met by the rest of the body, and the rest of the body has needs that are met by you. Verse 22, he says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Now, you don't treat every part of your body the same, do you? You don't treat your eyes the same way that you treat your foot. You won't find anybody putting a shoe on their eyeball. There's all kinds of parts of your body that you treat in unique ways. There's even parts of your body that are so special we don't even talk about them, but that's what Paul is saying. Is you treat different parts of your body differently. Now, how do you take that concept and apply it to church? I hear it all the time, and it sounds so logical. Oh, I treat everybody the same. I look at everybody the same. You know what Paul would say to that? Stop it. Stop doing that, because people aren't the same. People are not the same. People have different needs. There are some parts of the body that lack honor. There are certain parts of the body that lack care. And when they are out into the world, these parts of the body that are treated differently, and so we treat them differently also in the body of Christ. We need to treat them as they need to be treated. If somebody is rich and famous and powerful, they don't need the same kind of care as someone who is poor and marginalized. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying you don't treat all of your body parts the same way. The parts that lack honor, you give greater honor to them. So as this would work its way out practically in Paul's context, if you were in the Jewish community, the Greek people would be lacking in honor. So the body of Christ, how should they treat those who lack honor? With greater honor. That they should be treated with greater honor because they lack it. They need a greater care. Or in the Gentile community, those who were Jewish, of a Jewish background, they would lack honor within that community. And so the body of Christ would then give them greater honor. Those who were slaves, those who were women, those who were whatever, however they are being treated by the world in the church, they ought to be treated with greater honor. So that we all have the same care for one another. How is it that we make sure that every body part is cared for the way that it needs to be cared for? By treating each part the way it needs to be treated, right? So we treat everyone the same is not what Paul is teaching. Paul is teaching we treat every part of the body the way they need to be treated. When we see someone, maybe not so much here, but because of their ethnicity or because of their socioeconomic background, because of their whatever isn't being treated with the same honor that they need to be treated with in the body of Christ, we then give them greater honor. We give them greater care because that's how we treat our body. That's how we treat every individual part. Verse 26 says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Again, if one body part suffers, we don't say, well, I'm sure glad that wasn't me. And if one rejoices, we don't say, I sure wish that was me. If one body part suffers, the whole body suffers with it. If one part rejoices, the whole body rejoices with it, because we share in everything. This is the way that church is supposed to operate. This is the way that we're supposed to live. And again, church isn't just some place we come, and it's not just something we do. It's something that we are. Every single day we are part of the body of Christ, and we care for one another as if we were really part of the same physical human body. So as we finish up, just three quick things. Number one, the Spirit is equipping you to minister to the body in a unique way. And just think about that for a second, that the Spirit of God is equipping you to minister to the rest of the body in a unique way. So what happens if you don't minister to the rest of the body in that unique way that you are being equipped? What happens if you decide to hoard it to yourself? Well, then you deprive the rest of the body the gift that the Spirit gave to you to give to them. The Spirit of God is equipping you to minister to the rest of the body in a unique way. Number two, we need to find the parts of the body that are most lacking in strength and in honor, and find ways especially to care for them. Does that mean we need to ignore other people? Of course not. But it means that we especially, just like you would with your body, if one part of your body is hurting or one part of your body is weaker, one part of your body needs special attention, you seek that one body part out and you help it and you care for that body part so that everybody gets cared for. As followers of Jesus, we need to look out for people that need that extra care as well. The people that need the extra honor, we need to find ways to care for them especially. And then three, be willing to be served by the gifts the Spirit has given to others. This is probably the most difficult of the three. Because if the body is going to operate the way that it is supposed to operate, I can't just step back and say, no, I'm good. I'll just take care of myself. Again, that's not the way it works. Not only do you have to be involved in ministering to others, you have to allow others to minister to you. That's the only way they get to practice what the Spirit has given them. That's the only way they get to do what the Spirit has given them. That's the only way they can serve the way the Spirit has given them the power and give some blessings to serve. So when you withhold gifts, you are depriving the rest of the body of that gift that the Spirit has given you. But then when you don't allow yourself to be served by others, you're depriving others the gift of serving you. So let's finish with this thought, that the Spirit serves them through the gifts he has given you. The Spirit serves them, whoever them are, the rest of the body, your brothers and sisters in Christ, through the gifts he has given you. And we have to recognize that the need that we have, not only for them to serve us, but for us to serve them. Again, this is the way it works. It's mutual dependence, the circle of giving and loving and caring for one another, this circle of ministry that goes on day after day, and not just on Sundays, but again, every day of the week, not just by people who have minister in their title, but by every follower of Jesus that the Spirit of God is equipping. The Spirit serves them through the gifts he's given you, and the Spirit serves you through the gifts he has given others. We need to make sure that we are participating in that oneness, participating in this ministry, participating in what church really is and what church really looks like. We need to find our place to serve and not have feelings of superiority or inferiority, but feelings of gratitude that again says, I'm so glad and I'm so thankful that the Lord has given to other people gifts that are different than mine. I'm so glad and thankful that the Lord has gifted you with the gifts, that he has gifted you, because the Spirit serves all through those gifts. This is the life in which we step into when we are baptized. And that's what that Paul says, that we are baptized into one body. We drink of one Spirit. Maybe there's someone here this morning that or you may be watching online, and you are ready to be baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ, into this life of mutual care and mutual dependence. Maybe you need prayers. Maybe you need encouragement. Maybe you need to publicly ask for forgiveness for something. Maybe you just need to allow the opportunity for us to serve you. Whatever we can do for you this morning, you can come now or seek myself or a deacon or one of the elders out after services. But come now as together we stand and sing.